Let's pray together. Lord, that is our heart's desire. We turn our eyes upon Jesus. We look full in his wonderful face. And as we do, we ask that you would grant us understanding and insight into your holy word. Would you send forth your Spirit to be our teacher, so that we might love you more, that we might serve others better, and we might fight until the battle is won. We pray for Christ's sake. Amen. Christians of all times and cultures celebrate and look forward to Resurrection Sunday every year. We celebrate the resurrection. We celebrate Easter because it is foundational to our Christian faith and our lives as believers. Well, Easter has come and gone. After all of the anticipation of Easter and being reminded of these great truths, we go on, we move on and live our lives. Today, we are 1 week after Easter. And I don't want us to live our lives as normal. Something has happened. Something happened after the resurrection. Something that I want to argue for today is just as important as the resurrection. Do you know what happened after Easter? Kids, do you know what happened after Easter? Here's what happened. Jesus ascended into heaven. And the great historian in the New Testament, Luke, records these events for us in Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Please turn there with me, or you can follow along on the screen. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. The first account I composed, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach. And so he's reminding us here of his first gospel account, the Gospel of Luke. So this is Luke writing. In verse 2, he says, until the day when he, that is Jesus, was taken up to heaven, after he had by the Holy Spirit given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. To these apostles, he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. So Jesus, he didn't ascend to heaven a week after Easter. I'm just preaching on it because I'm not going to preach 40 days after Easter. So we're preaching on it today. Verse 4, gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. And after he had said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky, while he was going, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. They also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus, who has been taken up from heaven, from you into heaven, will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven." Luke thinks it important to include the events of the ascension in his book called The Gospel or the Acts of the Apostles. Why does Luke think it's so important to include the ascension narrative? Well, this is what I want to deal with this morning. Why is the ascension important, even as important as the resurrection? Why is it important that Jesus ascended to heaven instead of staying here on earth, which he could have done? I mean, don't you think that he could have done the world a lot more good by staying here on earth? Well, I want to argue this morning that the ascension is important, and for at least three reasons. The first reason Christ's ascension is important is because in ascending to heaven, he intercedes for us as our advocate before the Father. He intercedes for us as our advocate before the Father. And we find this first reason actually outside of the book of Acts, in another scripture, Romans chapter 8, verse 34. So keep your finger in Acts. Turn over to Romans chapter 8 and verse 34. Or you can follow along the screen or flip there in your electronic version of the Bible. Romans chapter 8, verse 34. Who is the one who condemns? Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died. Yes, rather who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. So right now, as I speak, and you listen, Jesus, as a full-blooded man, is in heaven. Wherever heaven may be, he is there, and he is interceding for us. And the question I have is this: why is it better that Christ is in heaven praying for us rather than on earth praying for us? I mean, couldn't he be praying for us while on earth? Why is it better that he ascended to heaven and is praying there? Well, it is indeed true that Jesus could be praying for us if he was on earth. He, in fact, did intercede for people while on earth. If you remember, very famously, Jesus prays for Peter that his faith would not fail. Even in his what we call high priestly prayer in John 17, Jesus prays for his own. So why is his prayer in heaven better? Why is it better? The reason his prayer is better for us in heaven is not because Jesus' prayers are ineffective when he was here on earth. Jesus' prayers, and our prayers for that matter, are always answered. Always. Not, of course, always the way we want them to be answered, but they are always answered. But Jesus' prayer in heaven, his prayers, are better because of his position, because of where he is. Notice where he is in heaven. Romans 8:34 says he is at the right hand of God. Colossians 3:1 says he is seated at the right hand of God. Now, what does it signify to be seated at the right hand of God? Well, it has nothing to do with the fact that Jesus is seated. It's not his physical posture. As a matter of fact, when Stephen, you remember Stephen was about to die? And as he was dying, he looks up into heaven and he sees Jesus standing, not seated, but standing at the right hand of God. So the point is not his physical posture. The point is that at the right hand of God, Jesus is endowed with power. There in that position at the Father's right hand. The picture is that of a king and his vice regent. The person who sits at the right hand of a king is the person with power. To use a faulty analogy that maybe you can relate to, it's like the vice president of the United States. He is the president's right-hand man, as it were. He speaks. When he speaks with the power and authority of the president, sort of at his right hand. So here is what this means for us. Jesus ascending to heaven, now seated at God's right hand, means that Jesus' prayers are authoritative and powerful in a whole different way than when he was on earth. He's been ascended and he's been seated at the Father's right hand. And this means that his prayers for you crush, absolutely crush, Satan's plans to destroy your life. Jesus' prayers for you, powerful and authoritative prayers, they trample down your own wandering heart's desire to go astray. Jesus' prayers for you as an advocate, as your defense attorney, he prays for you that way, and no one can do anything to separate you from the love of God because of the powerful and authoritative prayers of Jesus. You are going to make it home to heaven. The Father will not lose you no matter how bad you are messing up in your life right now. And certainly, certainly, no virus threatens to undo you from the Father's love. The virus may kill your body, but nothing because of Jesus' powerful prayers will kill your soul. Think about it like this. If Jesus never ascended to heaven, yes, he could pray for us while on earth, but there is a special power and authority that has been given to him now that he is ascended and seated at the Father's right hand. So Jesus' prayers for you are so much better now that he has ascended to heaven. The ascension is important first because only then can Jesus make absolutely out of this world powerful with the full authority of the Father prayers and intercessions on your and my behalf. So if you have been distracted by a timer in your home or a toilet in your home, which is very easy to do when you're sitting at home, I want to remind you that we're talking about why the ascension is important. It's important first because when Jesus ascended, he sat down at the right hand of God and makes intercession for us. Second, the ascension is important because only when Jesus ascended could he send his Holy Spirit. So he ascends and he sends his Holy Spirit. That's the second reason why the ascension is important. And I want you to see this in Acts chapter 1. So turn back with me to Acts chapter 1 and let's start reading in verse 4 of Acts chapter 1. Gathering them, the disciples, together, Jesus commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. There it is. You will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So Jesus ascends to heaven and then, and only then, does he send the Holy Spirit. If you remember, Jesus promising the Holy Spirit is really what he told his disciples just before his death. In John 16, verse 6, you can just listen to it, Jesus says, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Clearly, Jesus needed to go away. He needed to ascend for the Holy Spirit to come. Indeed, sending the Spirit is what Jesus promised in Matthew chapter 20, verse 20, to be with you and me to the end of the world. How's he going to be with us to the end of the world? Through his Spirit. But again, why does it matter that Jesus ascended so that he could send forth his Spirit? Well, it matters because think about all the Holy Spirit does for us. Let me give you three things that the Spirit does for us. It's so important that Jesus ascended to send his Spirit because of what he does. Listen, first, the Holy Spirit gives us power. Gives us power. Look at what it says in Acts 1, verse 8. You're in the text. Look at it. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Now here, obviously, the power is specifically in reference to advancing the power to advance the gospel through evangelism. Elsewhere in the Bible, we know that the Spirit gives us power to help us fight and war against the remainders of indwelling sin that are in our lives. The Holy Spirit gives us power. Second, the Holy Spirit gives gifts. And what I'm referring to here is the spiritual gifts that the Spirit gives to minister in His church. I want you to listen to a familiar passage that makes the connection between the ascension of Jesus and the Holy Spirit giving gifts. So there's a passage that connects these two that we're talking about, Jesus ascending and pouring forth His Spirit. It's Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. Just listen. Follow along on your screen. Ephesians 4, verse 7. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when He ascended on high, He led captive a host of captives, and He gave gifts to men. Verse 9. Now this expression, He ascended, what does it mean except that He also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is Himself also He who ascended far above all the heavens so that He might fill all things. And, verse 11, as a result of this ascension, as it were, He gave some apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, He gave gifts to the church through the Spirit. The Spirit, secondly, gives gifts to the church. Third, not only does the Spirit give power and gifts, but He gives illumination. Illumination is a fancy term theologians use for understanding what you read in the Bible. Though you don't always understand what you read in the Bible, I don't always understand what I read in the Bible. But on the whole, the Bible is clear and understandable. Why is this the case? Because of the Holy Spirit. Again, listen to Jesus' words in John 16, verse 12 and 13. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now, Jesus says as He's about to go to His death. But when the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit comes, He will, what will He do? He will guide you into all the truth. The point is that the Spirit will guide or give understanding into the Scriptures. So the Spirit gives power, gifts, and illumination. Now here, I want to remind you what we're talking about. Jesus had to ascend to heaven so that the Spirit could come in full force and forever. So let me paint a picture for you of why this is important, showing what life would be like if Jesus never ascended. First, it means that you wouldn't have power. If Jesus never ascended, you wouldn't have power. It would be up to you at the end of the day to convert people to Christ. I mean, you'd have to be really smart, really clever in your presentations to convert them. It would be up to you and your own power to say no to sin. And the bottom line is this, you would fail and falter. I would fail and falter. We wouldn't make it home to heaven without the Spirit. Or put it a different way, we would go to hell without the Spirit. Jesus ascended and sent forth his Spirit so that we would have power to persevere until the end and witness for his kingdom. Second, if Jesus never ascended, there would be no gifts in the church. Why does GCBC have pastors and deacons and ministers and givers and servers and teachers and technology guys and on and on and on and on? It's because the Holy Spirit has given gifts to the church for the building up of the body. The reason Grace Community Bible Church can be built up is because of the Holy Spirit. Without the ascension, GCBC, we would be expending a lot of energy, but we would get nowhere in terms of building one another up. It would be like a spiritual treadmill. Or I'll put it like this. The Spirit turns us from a Lions club or a country club, minus the golf course. It turns us from a country club, the Spirit does, into a church. That's what the Spirit does for us. And third, if Jesus was still roaming the earth in his physical glorified body, we would, I suppose, have to get in our car or get on an airplane and go and see him and ask him the interpretation of Bible passages. I can just picture in my mind preachers lined up for miles and miles and miles to ask Jesus what the meaning of the Bible passage is that they're going to preach on the next week. Jesus ascended, and when he did, he sends forth his Spirit to help us and to illuminate us, our minds and hearts, to understand what he has written. You see, without Jesus ascending, it would be like reading this. There is a man haunts the forest that abuses our young plants with carving rosin on their barks, hangs odes upon hawthorns and elegies on brambles, all forsooth deifying the name of Rosalind. That's Shakespeare. And I have no earthly idea what he's talking about. Thankfully, we have Shakespeare scholars to help interpret Shakespeare us. And we have the Bible scholar, the Spirit, who illuminates the Scripture for us. So, again, if you've been tuned out, if you've been distracted at home, we are talking about the ascension and why it is important. And the third reason, I've given two, the third reason the ascension is important is not only because it means that Jesus is now interceding for us at the Father's right hand, and it not only means that Jesus went away so that he could send the Holy Spirit, but finally, the ascension is important because only then can Jesus come again. And we ascend with him. And I get this from Acts chapter 1 in our passage in verse 9. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 9. And after he said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky, while he was going, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. They also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in just the same way. He will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven. So as sure as Jesus ascended to heaven, so he will descend to the earth again. We know why Jesus went to heaven. We know why he left us. He tells us in John 14, verse 2, that he goes to prepare a place for us. If I go to prepare a place for you, Jesus says, I will come again. I'll come again and I will receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Now, I don't want you to miss this. Not only is Jesus coming again, we know that. But what I don't want you to miss is that you and I will one day ascend with him. Just as his resurrection guarantees our resurrection, so his ascension guarantees our ascension. It guarantees it. You know, with this COVID-19 thing, I have had to metaphorically pinch myself a few times and ask, is this really happening? Are bakeries and bars and barbershops really closed? Is the vast majority of the workforce in their PJs working from home? Is the U.S. in a recession or a depression? I mean, it's almost like a bad dream. Unfortunately, it's not. It's not a bad dream. But if Jesus never ascended, you would be living a bad, bad dream. We would have no hope. No hope of one day ascending. Fortunately, for the likes of us, he has not only risen, but he has ascended. So we will ascend too. We will ascend too. There is a flesh and blood man in heaven right now. And because he is in heaven, he intercedes for us at the Father's right hand with powerful and authoritative prayers. And the Holy Spirit has been poured forth upon us to give us power, gifts, and illuminate the Word. And we will one day be reunited with Jesus. All of that because of his ascension. The 19th century South African pastor Andrew Murray sums this up well. He sums this up well. Quote, faith has as its foundation four great cornerstones on which the building rests, he says. So there are four foundational truths of the Christian faith. He says, quote, the divinity of Christ, Jesus is God, the incarnation, the atonement on the cross, and the ascension to the throne. He goes on to say, quote, the ascension is the most wonderful, the crown of all the rest, the perfect revelation of what God has made Christ for us. And so in the Christian life, the ascension is the most important, the glorious fruit of all that goes before. End quote. I don't expect that you will remember the three reasons the ascension is important. That's not the point of the message this morning. The point is that I hope you will remember that the ascension is important. It's not a tag on to the Christian life. And I hope this message has helped you to see a little bit more of why that is the case. You know, I began by saying that the resurrection, what we celebrated last week, has united Christians of all times and cultures. So has the ascension. I know this because of what we read in the Apostles' Creed, a document that has united Christians of all times. The Apostles' Creed, an old document, is a 12-line statement of core essentials of the Christian faith, building most beautifully around the three persons of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Each of the 12 lines of the creed is important, so much so that if you deny one of the lines, you are denying the Christian faith. And line 6, the very middle, the heart of the creed says this: He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. That is united Christians of all time and all cultures. Again, the Apostles' Creed mentions the death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ, but it also mentions the ascension of Christ. Why? Because it's important. And now you know a little more of why. So, as with many other Christians huddled in living rooms on this Lord's Day, Christians throughout the world, whether or not today is the 40th day after Easter, I don't care. We celebrate the ascension of our Lord. Let's remember that our Lord is no longer like Elvis roaming the earth. He sits at the right hand of the Father to make intercession for us. He sends His Spirit. After the ascension, He sent His Spirit to empower, to grant gifts, and to illuminate the Word. And because He is in heaven, He will one day come again to receive us unto His own. And all of God's people said to this great news, Amen, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the ascension of our Lord. We know that it is not only Christ's death and not only His resurrection that is saving us, it is also His ascension. May this truth be celebrated, cherished, and may it comfort Your people. And Lord, we ask that the truth of the ascension would comfort those who are especially suffering right now throughout this coronavirus. We ask for those who have been laid off, whose salaries have been impacted, and Lord, those who are suffering physically in our midst, we ask that You would, Lord, that You would uphold them. And we know that Jesus, even right now, as we've been reminded, because of His ascension, is praying for them. Lord, we also ask for our leaders at this time who are leading us at the national, state, and local levels. Give them wisdom for such a time as this, as they navigate these unprecedented waters. We pray for great wisdom and unity as they lead us into the next steps and phases of our response. And Lord, we ask not only for our nation, we ask for all of the nations, and as we do, we ask for our missionaries. Lord, as you would use this pandemic, as people are fearful, you would use it to open their hearts to eternal matters, and that you would use the harness and the gases and the EADS and our brothers in Sierra Leone, Musa, who is right now training other pastors. You would use these men and women to advance your kingdom around the world, that your kingdom truly would come and your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.